I want to start by just saying thank you. On behalf of not just myself, but the entire staff, as we have opportunity over the course of a summer, particularly to get away and refresh ourselves through vacation and time away, I'm thankful, especially for last weekend and the opportunity to be at the PGA Championship out at Belle Reve. And you know that I am a nutty golfer. I have issues. Just let's acknowledge I have issues with that. And last week was just a tremendous week. It was one of the reasons why, and a lot of folks were asking me about the PGA Championship last night, and I thought I'd just start this sermon by connecting a little dot from last week to our topic for today. And you know, one of the great things about being at a professional tournament like that, especially golf, is that it is not contained by the lines on a basketball court. It's not contained by the perimeter of a football field. If you've ever seen someone golf, especially me, or particularly Dave, you know, I didn't mean anything bad by that. I'm just talking truth right now. It hurts, but it's true. Anyways, all that to say, there are no boundaries. And sometimes, you know, your ball goes in bad directions. We were on one hole, a friend of mine from Jacksonville, Florida, that came up for the weekend. We were on one hole, and the Masters champion, Patrick Reed, winged one way to the right, off into the trees, where we were sitting, which is just spectacular. And so he comes outside the boundaries of the rope line that kind of separate the spectators from the fairway and whatever else, and he comes to find his ball, which is, as we say, in jail, underneath a low-lying pine branch. And there's no way not only to get to it, there's no way to really hit at it. He is destined for a penalty stroke to get some measure of relief from his predicament. And as we are all gathered around him, literally, I am 4 feet away from the Masters champion this past year. And he's looking at his shot with his caddy, and he says to us spectators, because we're talking now, he says, "Hey, do you all have fire ants in Missouri?" Yeah. And I'm looking at him, and we as spectators are all looking at each other, and we're thinking he's joking. Like, he's just trying to have nice, pleasant conversation in the middle of a round of golf. Fire ants. And so, of course, I blurt out ignorantly, "I really don't even know." I said, "Sure we do." Because I thought that would make him happy. And we all want Patrick Reed to be happy. The rules official comes up. And Patrick Reed is standing, and the rules official comes up, and this is now taking, we're going on minutes. And he says to the rules official, he goes, "There's a mound of something over here. And there's another mound over here. And my ball is kind of right in the middle. And if I put my feet where I would have to put my feet in order to hit this ball, I'd be right on what I think is a tunnel between these two mounds. I think there's something alive underneath here. What do you think?" he says to the rules official. The rules official goes, "I think you're right. I think there's something alive underneath there." At which point in time, they invoked the burrowing animal rule of the United States Golf Association, which says, if a burrowing animal is in your line to stand or hit, you get free relief 2 club lengths away from wherever that's at. 15 minutes this went on. What's my point? It is one thing to watch golf on TV. It is another thing to see golf in the flesh. And for 15 minutes, this went on, and it was spectacular. So, one, thanks for letting me go last week. It was great. Number two, I think of that when I think of all the audio visual stuff that when we come into contact with it, it delights us. It's more than just a concept, the audio visual savior. It's God in the flesh coming to us, and when we are standing in his presence, when we are in the presence of the activity and active God. It animates our life more than anything we could imagine. I realize that, not just there, but I could show you some videos as well. I can tell you 100 stories from last week if you really want to hear. Pray for my wife. She's heard them all a few times. But today we want to really come into contact with this AV God. And I want to start out just by popping the balloon a little bit and letting the air out. We all know that Jesus is an audiovisual savior. We can study the idolatry of the Old Testament. We can get all in-depth on how it is that God wants to be known. But finally, the basics of our Christian faith rests in the incarnation of God's Son. He took on flesh and blood, and then after a period of earthly ministry, some 30, 35 years, Jesus gave that flesh and his spirit over to a sacrificial death for you and I. And in doing that, and then birthing the church to take that message forward into this world, he became our audiovisual savior. End point one of the sermon. Point two, because of that, we are audiovisual people. Christians, that is, audiovisual Christians. On the one hand, from one perspective, we are flesh and blood, and we live with eyes and ears and noses and mouths and sights and senses of all kinds. We live that life. God put us into action and being to be audiovisual people. But through ministry, he says, go out and touch people with healing and service for the sake of Jesus Christ. He says ministry is not just about concepts in the mind. It's not just about spiritual truths that we transact with one another. Ministry is about getting into the weeds with people whose lives are hurting. And sometimes we clothe the naked, we feed the hungry, we sate the thirsty. We shelter people, we provide for their material well-being, that's to be sure. All of that evidence of our audiovisual ministry. But today, I want to go to an audiovisual place that we oftentimes do not give a lot of thought to. And that comes out in Ephesians chapter 5, the second paragraph. Paul is writing to an Ephesian church that lives in a city filled with audiovisual experience. The temple that was in the city of Ephesus was one that was known for its carnal worship rites and behaviors, its very sensualized expressions of what spirituality was all about. This temple was a den of iniquity. And the Ephesian church and all the Ephesian people were pressed and pushed by that kind of carnal sensuality. That's the specific setting to which Paul then will write these words in verse 10, second paragraph. Carefully determine, Paul says, what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, Paul writes, expose them. To capture some of the thinking in our sermon title today, release the audio, release the video. Don't let sin hide. But if we are going to be the kind of people that follow after an audiovisual savior, that endeavor to have an audiovisual ministry that feeds the hungry and shelters those that are exposed to the elements, giving water to the thirsty, clothing to the naked. There is another kind of audiovisual perspective that needs to be kept in mind, and that is that when sin lurks in the darkness, God says, take the risk, take the chance, find the courage to expose that sin, to bring it into the glorious light of the God who, through Jesus Christ, purchased and won you to be his very own. It is very easy, even as longtime Christians, to let the shame and the power of hidden sin lurk and never get dealt with. The two key words that need to be underlined and highlighted in this text, expose them. Don't just deal with the sins that are easy in your life, deal with the sins that are hard. Don't just deal with the sins that are amenable to the light of day, the sins that are easy to confess. Take on and stare down, confront and face down the sins, the strain in your spirit that has been with you for far too long. I think that as we get older as Christians, particularly for you Christians who have been around the block for a good long time, I think one of the greatest challenges that you face is to find new sins and old habits that are still at work within you and that you have become used to. And you may have even reconciled and just said, well, that's me. It's the chain I'll always bear. It's the bondage I will always have. Don't let those kinds of thoughts control your spirituality today. Paul comes and says, take what is shameful, to talk about what is done in secret. Awake, O sleeping one. Rise up from the dead and know this, Jesus Christ came to give you light. And Paul ends this section of text by reminding us, as Pastor Meggers did to our children, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Remember that the Christian community is constituted by Jesus for this very purpose. So that over time, in small groups with people that are trustworthy and who love you, in spite of what they may come to know about you, still say Jesus came to die for that sin too. And in Christ, your bonds, your chains have been loosened and you have been set free. See, if we're just going to talk about an audiovisual Savior being that kind of classic doctrine of, hey, Jesus took on flesh and made his dwelling among us for a time, that's pretty good. God wants to be known through his Son. If we're going to talk about being an audiovisual Savior who authors an audiovisual church that reaches out with eyes and ears and mouths and hands to serve those in need, that's pretty good. They will know that we are Christians by our audiovisual love. But in some ways, those are the easy go-tos for the sermon this morning. Much more difficult is that verse, take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. Bring out the audio tapes. Bring out the video. And share that part of your life with others you trust. And watch how they react. Watch how they, as children of God in Christian community, they wrestle with you through those things that are deep inside our hearts. And know most of all, regardless of what any other human being may do, there's a God who will never turn away, who will never despise us or be too embarrassed by us to say, you're still my child, you're still mine. The sins that Christ came to redeem include those as well. The shame which Christ came to cover include that shame as well. Christ came for you, and nothing can separate you from the love of God in Jesus. Amen.